Jali Ukunika Makan Fish and Wildlife Reserve Amka Huakanlu Nikki, your where you work?
The Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission.
Okay, yeah, that one. It's too long, I can't remember it. Dagwam token. Ukunik malrugu kathanrika, ahuna biologist ach putkech pak ilakluku, ahunisu malruni ashakuni plusrini. Taim upashruk, taim anchor charmi ungochluni. Kuk ichene, litna wakat pit klugi. Upak upimeng kwa litnaw sakat piluki time ayak ayak yarak sakluting piuta pipiskiwating tiki pailgan takam akwawak time kubias kubias hata chang naknikwa unkun kakiyar nikpilren ka mikuhtut unai time pitjuhluni piguni ai pagni iki reskatu unnakus kokvak apritnik white open narluku ngairosuku pikatu ai pagni una this might be our last meeting fish talk together for the summer until bispuktuka next year. It's been a good year getting to know you better there, Aaron, and Nikki, I wanted to call you somebody else, but I knew it wasn't it. It's been wonderful talking with you two and the other guys like Chris and Boyd and Nick and the one in McGrath. What was his name?
Kevin,
too. I really enjoyed this fish talk because it brought out information otherwise we would have never known, like the numbers of fish that are being harvested in Area M and out in the open ocean, as well as here in our own river, the species. The type of species that are being caught and the numbers. It gives us a good insight of what's happening with our fish. And our numbers are 907-543-5985, 907-543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. Email is radio@kyuk.org. Takutoy number at atukuluki you guys. If you have anything that you wanna broadcast over KYUK, now is the time. It might be the last time that we're you'll be able to voice what's in your mind. Introduce Achtluk, starting you from Aaron.
Thanks, Sam. Hey everybody, my name is Aaron Moses. I'm the subsistence coordinator at the refuge.
My name is Vicky Pollock. I'm the operations manager for the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, and thank you for tuning in. I also wanted to take a moment to say happy birthday to my nephew, Chamber.
Happy birthday. Nikki, where is your office located? Where can any... And your phone number, if anyone has questions for you in the future.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you, Sam. So the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission's office is located in the Jalista building, nearest Subway, the Subway building. Okay. So it's sort of like in the middle. You'll see we have signs out there with our name and logo. And then we also have like a doorbell because we're upstairs on the second floor in the back. And so we have numbers that you could call, 907-545-2630. That's my cell phone number. Or you could, again, that's 907 545-2630, or you could call my coworker at 545-7388. And yeah, if you would like to get a hold of us, or you could also email us info@kritfc.org. We do have a website, cuscosalmon.org. It's very informative. There's a lot of great resources on there. On our website, we have information related to our governance, our fish commissioners, our executive council, our staff, mm-hmm. some of the projects that we do, our partners. And so it's nice to look at. Yeah. We have news on there. Mm-hmm. So
how often does that news released? On your website?
It's usually as things occur, usually. And we do put our announcements for, like, fishing openers on there. And we do have another announcement if Aaron would like to go ahead and share that with us.
I'd like for you to introduce yourself to your phone number, your email, whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah. My phone number at the refuge is 543-1021, but our main office is 543-3151. My email address is aaron_moses@fws.gov. Feel free. I'm switching to moose season now, so I'm getting ready with permits and all that and getting stuff ready. So if anybody has questions on fish or wildlife, regulations, anything, I'm always free. Our front desk passes along messages really well. So,
yeah, waterfowl is about to open up again too, isn't it?
Yeah. Right now, subsistence waterfowl season is open. Mm. The state season starts September 1st, and so it coincides with moose hunting. So there's a lot of hunting to be had.
Yeah. Yeah, summer's still here, guys. and I'm happy to announce that the gnats are out in force. Whenever there's no wind, or we get to a place where the wind is not blowing, yeah, they're out there, boy. And then they're nasty little critters, you know. They bite and they itch for a long time. But anyway, I'd like to come back to yesterday's opener. If we can hear a little bit of what you have witnessed or heard, Aaron?
Yeah, I was down at the boat harbor. A lot of us were doing the interviews. And from what I don't know if we have official stuff, but just observations from the boat harbor, people fished probably half an hour at the most, mm-hmm. and caught as much as they need. Some people caught over 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I fished for maybe 3 minutes and caught 10. So there were a lot of fish in the river yesterday.
And this release that was going to be announced, what was it?
What we have now, we're still in the deliberations and meetings with the Intertribal Fish Commission on the future of this coho run. That can include opening it wide open. Mm-hmm. We're still in those talks, but we do have one announcement for Saturday. It's the same as yesterday, 9 to 9 this Saturday, and it's all the same Gary Strickson's. Mm-hmm. But we are looking at the numbers and stuff, and we are looking into the future and what that will look like and how fast we could open up the river. But those are still being mm-hmm. in discussion.
You have anything to add there, Nikki?
Thank you, Sam. I think Aaron did a pretty good summary of what we were hearing yesterday. I've been hearing a lot of positive feedback from people that went out fishing yesterday, so that's very promising. We also did hear about a bear located in Steamboat Slough, so people be careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually about this time of the year, they'll start seeing them, or they'll they're starting to move around. With blueberry season starting to, the blueberries starting to ripen up, they're going to start switching their diet to blueberries. But there are some older bears that prey on, you know, easy access, like what do we have cut. Mm-hmm. So beware. If you have a dog, bring it along. That will be your best defense is a dog. I have two of them across at my fish camp that I keep. They always warn me when even a little rabbit will appear and they'll start growling and barking. So they're really good. They're really good I mm-hmm. You know, look out. They're good. I mean, I can't say anything better about what they can do, what they hear. And if it's something more than just a small critter, they'll really bark. Mm-hmm. So, and if it's a sow with a baby, a cub, be extra careful. Moose too. If it has a calf, it's going to defend, just like a mom will defend that baby. So same thing here. So be careful out there. The numbers on our the test fishers and where they are fishing. How are those guys doing?
Let me pull that up real quick. I had it on my phone. As of yesterday, let me see.
Are those the same guys that keep going out all summer long?
Yeah.
People never change. It's the same person, same two people.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the guys is from Quinnahawk, and he's been coming back at least 10, maybe I think 10 wow. years. And I worked with him up mm-hmm. on Quinnahawk fishery a long time ago. So he's been coming back every year, and so it's been the same person. So at the Bethel test fish for yesterday, for 8-9, the Bethel CPUE was at 1,867. And to compare that to last year, we were only at 545. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Bethel test fish, at least in the last four, almost 10 years now, has been the highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
And so also at the sonar, I believe it was the last time I saw it was roughly 170, probably more than that. And then to compare that to last year, there was only like 55,000 at this mm-hmm. time. So we are well ahead of where we were.
Yeah.
And we're very thankful for that. It's a nice surprise because going into the season, we thought the numbers were going to be very low again just because of what the last 4 years have been mm-hmm. showing. And so it's been a welcome sight to a very strange year.
Yeah. I remember when we first started the group here, and I made a predicament that there was going to be a good year for silvers, just looking at the weather, you know. And it's been a wet year, so it's a good year for salmon species. And talking about salmon species, salmon bears, ho ho ho, you know, that's I've never seen them this abundant. They're all over our area here. Mm-hmm. And people, I keep getting good reports from villages from my friends that go out. They're coming back. I mean, they're salmon, you know, salmon. So that's pretty cool. I like it. Mm-hmm. Blueberries. Have you gone out blueberrying, Nikki?
No, when I went picking last weekend, the blueberries were still a little green. just a little bit. I would say maybe this weekend they might be good. Might, you know, probably go out there and check and do some picking. I love picking.
I love blueberries, gumlik, with fish. Mm-hmm. Mix it with fish. I love it like that. But the meetings that have been going on all summer have been pretty positive for everybody. I've heard some complaints a little bit here and there, but not as much as last year. Last year was pretty bad. But this year, I keep getting positive feedbacks from everybody. There are some negative talk a little bit, and there always will be. That's given. But I'd like to hear what you have in store for everybody out there, Nikki.
Well, thank you, Sam. This season, I'm new to the Fish Commission. I started last October, and it has been a very wonderful and humbling learning experience. I know I mentioned this before, you know, earlier in our radio show during, you know, earlier in the season, mm-hmm. that I really feel so honored and humbled to be a part of this work, being from the river, growing up at fish camp, being concerned even as a child for our salmon. So to be able to be a part of the process and to advocate for our people and our needs really is such a blessing. And, you know, We all work very hard and take our jobs very seriously, and we work together. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot. We share a lot of information. Our goal is to not need federal management. And so, you know, working on building our wild fisheries and, you know, making sure that there's enough, you know, fish to go around throughout the entire river, you know, the equity and, you know, for everybody to meet their amounts that are necessary for subsistence needs to get them through the winter until next season, super important because, you know, food is a basic need and we rely heavily on our subsistence food. So, you know, try to do our best to be good stewards. And so it's been a wonderful year. I really look forward to, you know, working together with everybody. You know, post-season, we'll have some meetings. Even though, you know, the fishing season's wrapping up, you know, we're still looking at numbers, assessing mm-hmm. the data, planning for next year, you know, taking notes, what's worked, what didn't work, how can we improve. And we do ask people to, you know, give us feedback, reach out to us, let us know how things are going. And so,
Mike, I have a question on AFN, during AFN convention. Is this your organization invited to appear at AFN?
So last year the Fish Commission did attend, and you know, I'll have to verify that we're going to be in attendance this year. I imagine that we will. We were there last year, so you know, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, yes. We do have a caller from here in Bethel. Tim, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Sam, Nikki, mm-hmm. Aaron. Such a relief to see that the coho run is coming in as strong as it did. You know, the data points keep climbing, and we're way above the five-year average, and even going beyond the longer-term average. And we're still in this conservation mode, 12-hour openings. And I was just wondering if there was any chance that we may go 24/7, so we can fish at a time that we need. Mm-hmm. We need. Excuse me, fighting a cold. But it would be nice if we were able to fish at any time we want. Especially for the people that are working and people that work Saturdays, Sundays, whenever these opportunities come up. But it would be great, I think, if we were to go 24/7. I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you very much. really appreciate this call.
Aaron?
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, we're in discussion with that with the Fish Commission right now. We do see that the numbers are very good comparatively to the last, even the last 15 years, like, mm-hmm. And so it's just a process we have to go through, and we're working diligently with our partners on trying to have further openings or completely white.
Yeah, that's what he's asking. Complete.
There should be something coming up soon.
Yeah,
some news release coming up soon.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that too myself. So that at a certain time of the tide, I can go out when I know I'm going to make a good set. Nikki.
Thank you both, and I think Aaron summarized it pretty good. You know, it is definitely something that, you know, we're looking at future actions, what we're going to do, and, you know, just like Aaron said, it is a process, and we are going through, you know, that process right now, and so, you know, hopefully by next week we might have more information to share with everybody, but sometime in the near future for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, and that number, if something comes up, that number that recorder, will this be recorded on that that recording line?
Yeah,
their subsistence line.
Yeah, it's going to be right now. It's a little behind. I was supposed to get this Saturday opener on there before this call.
Yeah, that's aired. That's all summer.
Yeah. You can blame me for all summer being a little off. But
we have to blame somebody.
And so, when another management action happens, it will be on that recorder. Mm-hmm. Our front desk guy, Carl, he's going to be around. He's been here all summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a temporary visitor service. He's going to be leaving soon. But he's been really good at answering the phones and giving people information also.
Yeah, there's college students that are going to be leaving Bethel to go back to their education. And maybe that's why he's leaving, huh?
No, Carl came up here. He does a lot of summer work. He's an older guy,
mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of visitor service work, and he's been, him and Emma, who run the and do the front desk part of it, been doing a lot of stuff all summer long.
Wow. Yeah. Nikki?
I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah. on what Tim was bringing mm-hmm. up on that opener, you have anything to add on to that?
We don't have any figures right now for the opener that we had on the 9th, but we do have figures for the 3rd, if you'd like me to share.
Mm-hmm.
We had 129 drifters, 6 set netters. People, we estimate that 35 kings were caught, 521 chum, 188 red, and 4,027 silvers.
Yeah.
Yes, as well as about 68 whitefish.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite fish are out there too. I caught one, you know, when I did my set net that mm-hmm. one time. We have a caller online, Mark. Good afternoon.
Hi, Sam.
Yee?
Hey, since this is you guys' maybe last show, I wanted to call in and mm-hmm. compliment each one of you. I was kind of waiting to run into you guys around town and compliment you in person. But at the beginning of the summer, when they announced that they're going to have Fish Talk show every week, I thought, I wonder if they're going to run out of things to talk about. But I don't think I missed any shows, and every show that you guys did was very interesting, and hearing from all the different people up and down the river, you know, like on the other similar kind of shows, you know, is always really good to hear. But each one of you, Nikki and Aaron and all the other participants, especially where's that young Avery?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too. Where is
each
he?
Each one of you did a really good job representing. I wanted to thank you guys. And I also wanted to echo, like Tim, that it would be good to have it. Let's go out the end of the season, wide open, calm fishing. You know, we've lived with over 2 months of opening and closure. Now, you know, people aren't going to take much, but to be able to just go out when you're ready, it would be a nice way to end the season.
Yeah, and go out when you want to catch the good tide, you know, just the turn of the tide.
Yeah, it would be good. There's plenty of fish, yeah. And, whoa, like you said, the berries, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, salmon season.
Not the best weather this summer, but everything else is turning out pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy about that. That things are working out, you know. Don't lose hope. Like I said in the beginning, don't lose hope.
Roger that. So thank you all again for taking the time each week to do this show, and I hope it continues.
Yes, if this is going to be our last our last broadcast on KYUK, we're already thinking about next year, if there's funding for it. We certainly will be here.
Okay, God willing. All right, you guys have a good afternoon.
Yeah, good to hear something like that, something positive. And I've been hearing positive remarks from other people out there, and appreciating what's been brought up ahead of time before it happens. That's one of the things. Fishing takes preparation. We have to get ready for it before it happens. Since last year, and comparing the fish size to this year, can you talk a little bit about that, Aaron?
All I could say really is a lot of the silvers that I caught and some of the ones I observed were a lot, I'd say they were a lot bigger than what I've seen last year. Nikki might have something, if she could find the paper. But, the fish seemed like, just like the sockeye this year. The sockeye were a lot larger than I've ever seen.
Yeah, they were huge.
And
that's
so
that's why I asked about the coho, if there was the difference in size.
Yeah, when I fished with my 5.5, I did catch fish that I probably could have caught with my 6-inch. And so it was good to see those big fish. Mm-hmm. Up there. And just like compared to last year's fishing, there was a fishing opening. No, we didn't have a fishing opening in September, in August.
No,
it was open.
It was closed.
It was open till it was closed.
Yeah.
So,
silver season, we never got a chance, but on the non spawning tributaries, that's where I went. I went out by Johnston River a couple of times, and then once in Guik. It was pretty crowded when I went to Guik.
Yeah, the Guik's been a really good place for people to catch fish. There's that fish camp up there, and they're like industrials.
Yeah.
And I've fished in there a couple of times. I didn't have to this year, but in the past there's people catching 30, 40 fish in a single tide.
Yeah.
And so some people have been very, not to say fortunate, but very lucky, or lucky and able to get their fish.
Yeah.
Through those ways.
Yeah, even UConn had an opportunity to get their nets wet up in that area.
Yeah, the summer chum came back a little bit higher than they expected. They were only able to dip net, but still, that seems like it's a little bit of a plus. Just like around here, dip netting isn't that, let's say, popular, but it seems like here it's getting very popular with what people have been reporting. They're catching. There's people catching over 30. There's the video from the Fish Commission with James Nickrai and Martin and Andrew going out dip netting for the first time. And so with these large sockeye numbers, and I bet you right now you could go dip netting and catch, because there's are roughly the same number of silvers coming through as when the sockeye were coming through. So I bet you dip netting would be very good right now. Like for the sockeye, we almost had we've almost got 900,000 sockeye come up this river. The Tulakwinna Lake Weir, that's way up. It's closer to Anchorage than it is to here. There's a lot where a lot of those sockeye are going. It's a really big lake up there. They had over, last time I checked, they had 267,000 sockeye just going into the lake to go spawn. So
that's great. That's good to know. So there's going to be some fish left being.
And with this colder weather, like you said, it was a cold weather, it really benefits the salmon. It doesn't put any heat stress on them, and it makes them able to spawn a lot more successfully. Because those salmon, they like cooler water. Yeah. They don't like anything.
Yeah, they're from the ocean. They grew up in the ocean. Nikki?
Thank you, Sam and Aaron. And I just wanted to say thank you to Mark. You know, we really appreciate your kind words. It really does mean a lot to us. You know, things like that, you know, those types of things. Well, we want to hear the good and the bad, you know, we want to hear it all. Yeah. But, you know, hearing positive remarks like that really is personally and professionally satisfying, knowing that, you know, people, you know, are listening, and, you know, that we're doing our best to advocate. And so I just also, you know, wanted to mention that beginning on August 1st, rod and reeling in all tributaries on the Cusco and in the Aniak Box, you know, is open. But kings and chums must be returned, you know, to the tributaries alive below Aniak. And kings can be kept in the Aniak Box with bag limits and the tributaries above Aniak. Chums must be returned alive when they're caught with alternative gear types above the Aniak Box, but other species can be kept. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Kalskag line to the headwaters is open 24/7, fishing with 6-inch mesh, 150-foot, set and drift nets, except in the Aniak Box. Excuse me. Yeah, and fishing with gill nets and non-spawning tributaries and fishing anywhere in the main stem with alternative gear are also open 24/7 for all salmon types, and can be retained by federally qualified users. So, you know, outside of these opportunities, federal waters in the lower Kuskokwim are still closed until further notice, but we may have some, you know, keep on the lookout for some, you know, our press releases, you know, so,
that's good to know, because I'm having a positive feeling that our river is going to open up wide open soon. We have a caller online, Lamont. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sam. The people that you're interviewing here or helping you out are Aaron and Nikki. Mm-hmm. And they've meant so much to us this summer. They've done so much, and we appreciate that, what they have done for the fish on the Kuskokwim River as well as the people. Because when you're doing for the fish, you're doing for the people on the river here. But I wanted to mention one thing, which I think is very, very important to us. Number one, we're losing a very good man and losing Boyd.
Yes.
I'm sorry to see him going, but I'm glad he's going to Anchorage, and I'm glad he's going to work with Salmon Still and the Gravel to Gravel Initiative, which means, of course, that the salmon have to spawn in the gravel, and then their young come down the river and go out to the ocean and come back and go to the same gravel. So we're pleased that he's working with that initiative, and we look forward to working with him. But again, the thing I wanted to mention is I hope we can get somebody that is sympathetic to our needs on the river as Boyd has been.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got somebody in mind. Of course, I've got Spencer Reardon in mind. And the reason I have Spencer in mind is because he's, number one, he's Yupik. His mother is from the coast. And Nita, I think we all know Nita. But I think that not only is he well qualified academically, he got a master's degree in wildlife biology, I think, from Western Oregon.
Wow.
But he is qualified, I think, spiritually, and knows exactly what we need as subsistence fishermen on the Kuskokwim River. So I'm hoping that Spencer can become our leader. And I don't know how we could do any better than Spencer, but if we don't get Spencer, I hope we can get somebody else who will be as sensitive to our needs as Spencer would be. But Aaron is a biologist and works with us, and we really appreciate what he has done. And there's Chris Tulick. He's over there, the RIP at the refuge, and he's done a lot of work, too, here on the river. And we always appreciate so much what he has said, as well as the other RIPs, the refuge over there. But it takes a concerted effort, and we're so glad that Nikki and Aaron are working with us. And we hope that they can work with us many years into the future. And I will be quiet here, Sam, but thanks so much for entertaining us all of this summer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And on behalf of Nikki and Aaron, yes, we're very, very thankful that the effort you guys have put in, Boyd and Chris and Nick and all the other people that have been here. It takes people for something to happen.
Yeah, it takes for a lot of people to be thinking right and working hard, particularly like Nikki and Aaron there. We appreciate so much what they have done for us. Mm-hmm. You too, Sam.
Thank you very much. We are Nakwa. Our numbers are 907-543-5985. 543-275-6 1-800-995-8954. Do you have anything else to add there, sir? Is he still online? Oh, I think he hung up. I thought he was still online. Okay, but we do have another one online. Tim from Bethel. Good afternoon.
Hi, Sam. It's me again.
Mm-hmm.
I just got back from the Yukon River for community marshal, attending a funeral for my son that my parents adopted some years ago. But
sorry to hear that, Tim.
Yeah, thank you very much. But they're going through another funeral. They're going to be going through another funeral tomorrow. And they are provided a funerary salmon harvest permit for the Yukon River for fall chum. And they haven't had a fishery since last July, I think. But the funerary salmon harvest permit for the funeral was only five salmon that they can get And it's pretty sad and unfortunate that perhaps the manager the Yukon River manager doesn't understand the customs and traditions that we have of Siuslaw people on both rivers. You know, we host a lot of people at the homes of the deceased, and it takes a lot more than five salmon to feed the people.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any way that we can possibly increase that, I know we're in a conservation mode on the Yukon River, but it's the way we do things. It's just really sad and unfortunate that they're probably going to be issued the same permit for five fall chum, or five combination of five fall chum and coho. Yeah, too bad we don't have an opening here soon, so that we can possibly send something up there. But I was just wondering if anybody has ever dealt with a funerary salmon harvest permit, whether Aaron or Nikki, or have you ever heard of it? And hopefully we don't get into this same situation on the Cuspin River in the future. Okay, that's all I...
Hey, Tim?
Yeah.
I think there's a fish opener tomorrow. Not think, I know.
On Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah.
Tomorrow. Excuse me, sorry. Yeah. I thought today was Friday. What am I thinking? Saturday, me. From 9 to 9, is it?
To our age, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, you got my mind going for a little bit there. Maybe it's the gnats.
It could be, yeah. But I do agree with Lamont that we are losing a good refuge manager. The time that he's served here in Bethel in the region has been, I know it's been challenging with the salmon crisis that we've had over the years. And glad to see that he's moving to another salmon initiative.
Mm-hmm.
That would benefit the people of both rivers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have anything to add there, Aaron?
No, I haven't never had an issue or seen a fish permit for funerals. Fish and Game does a lot of that, and so, but they do give out. The only one thing I know is the moose permits for funerals.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's probably the same process. But,
yeah,
I haven't dealt with that before.
And Boyd, could you have any words for Boyd? Since you've worked with him,
Boyd was my direct supervisor, and we. Did a lot in 3 years. I've been in this fish management since I was still an intern, 10 years ago. And so there's been lots of ups and downs, but we work very well. And just the team we had that he made with all of us, with Chris and Emmett and Chris, and just listening to the needs of the people, it was a really good... It's been a really great 3 years that we had.
Challenging.
It's been challenging, but just like families, we argue, but we're still back together.
Yeah, I feel that too. I could feel it too. Before I get to you, we have a caller online. David, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Around
1960s, we used to have a lot of fishes around here in Tulksak, even in Kuskokwim. There were lots, I know that. And Tulksak River used to be clear water. Right now it's not a not clear water right now. But 1960s around there, it's used to be clear water, and there used to be lots of fishes going in upward to those lakes way up there in mountain. Right now, it's not the way it used to be around 1960s, around there. Right now, it's not. I really notice how the fish are not really, if they came in from down coast, it's not the way it used to be when I was young, right now. And short drift, we used to catch lots of fishes, fill up that boat, and it's true. Right now, it's hard to, it's not the way it used to be when I was young. It's hard to, we catch, not the way it used to be. I'm not gonna blame, down there in, Aleutian Islands, the pretty,
Seiners.
Yeah, Kalukpi Tama could Tukpak Buikatska Little Shu Tang was home at tea we couldn't Buikatska Little Kalukpi Timank. Sam nasu kalu ya kalu hit ang liya kait nakya kait magut an nakamung sama butuna butpit kalu lasit ni naligin su ang liya kait naun ngatsat pin resi kait sin it she it might be true.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, first of all, I accommodate people that are starting to work together.
Radio Nipahlukipika.
Okay, Dosu. Yeah, I accommodate all the people that are starting to work together, such as Fishing Game, Fishing Wildlife, the Intertribal Fish Commission, and I'm sorry I still never attended the yearly meeting in Anchorage due to my health. I'm still treating myself with possible prostate cancer. I lose a lot of weight. Now I'm slowly gaining back my weight and dealing with this possible prostate cancer. The best resource that my brother had given me, other than fish, gave me chaka and inner bark. That healed me and revived me to that, and I thank that. But to accommodate what he's saying, I think this river is now contaminated due to mining. and all the debris that put first porch landing, second porch landing, third and fourth. There's still debris that needs to be looked into, talking about conservation. Those little things like this needs to be, I think, researched, studied, or feasibility study if there's money in it. But I accommodate all of what's been, you know, put forth. But my concern is we still have with Northwest Pacific Fisheries, I think. I believe two of them went in. Still yet, if there's four, those two can be overwritten by the majority vote. That's all I wanted to bring out. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Do you have any responses to the callers there, Aaron?
Yeah, I do. This is a good... This is like one of the reasons Boyd's going to Anchorage is to be the gravel to gravel. This is kind of stuff that he's going to be starting to work on, like mining contaminants, different rivers. And so, that's a perfect segue to this is pretty much what Boyd's moving on to, is to look into those kind of research projects for the future.
And speaking in that line, what could we be looking at or expect to happen with someone that have experienced the stuff that is going on in the Kuskokwim Delta, the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta, and further north? Is there going to be a positive outcome on this, or how, what's your feeling behind this?
No, we always hope everything will be positive. So, yeah, but I could see this as being very beneficial to the AYK region. It brings more money to study what's going on out in those, what's going on in the rivers. It helps not just Fish and Wildlife, Fish and Game, but it will benefit all the communities along the both rivers and up in the Arctic. And so this initiative is new, so there's going to be hurdles in the beginning, but I could see in the future, once it gets smoothed out, it'll be very good.
Yeah, we do have a caller online. Ivan from Bethel, good afternoon.
Oh, hello.
Quack.
Hello to the Tribal Fish Commission, too. Well, key words seem to be conservation, and to me, these fish wares, they're man-made dams. One time me and my buddy went up the Holitna all the way to the confluence, the Kosigaluk Salmon, and up there I see the half-inch conduit fish dams, fish wares. And we hit the Talawit shack, those rubber ones, three-step, some rubber fish wares. I don't know what that consists of. To me, dams are fish killers. Why I say that? I look behind beaver dams, there's dead fish back there. And if there's the key word is conservation, I think those would be lifted. Through our mom and dad, they never talk of dams. The fish flowed freely back then. And I think that should be considered. And when the fish run is strong, I think those dams should be lifted, them fish wares, and let the fish go spawn. But anyway, I was over in Anchorage about a week, and holy cow, the influx of people. I don't think they even know what subsistence means to Alaska natives from the southeast, all of Alaska. I think Fish and Game, Fed and State, and our local leaders should get together and maybe make up pamphlets and awareness and education on subsistence. Hunting and fishing, what it means to us. Why I say that? High cost of living. Holy crap. Gas. Through that, my people need subsistence, hunting and fishing, and what it means to them. Maybe I don't think the ball of people know what us natives go through in Alaska on subsistence. They come on and buy their commercial fishing permit and go make money. And the Fish and Game and state and federal should know by now this yearly fish escapement works. We're seeing it. It needs to be done yearly. We used to have delegates go down in winter time. When I was a teenager, they used to go fight for escapement for Western Alaska. And I think it's unfair for only Ariam and False Pass to commercial fish and take away Yukon and Kuskokwim commercial fishing. Why I say that? That was their only income. I think that should be equalized and have them at least some sort of income for what they used to have. That'd help a lot. I'm not individually speaking. When we fish for our families and try to survive. I think that should be equalized on commercial fishing. I don't know if we'll ever come back. I think they should equalize it anyway. But anyway, you know, it's August 2023 now. We've got climate change and outsiders are attacking our native way of life. Opening up Anwar, trying to open up Pebble Mine and stupid Donald Gold Mine up here. And it's an attack on our hunting and fishing. And I think we state fish and game and state and federal we need your help to protecting our way of life. That's our key food on our survival for the winter months. And this high cost of living, when you go to our local stores, you see them in gas. But anyway, in closing, to our young people, they need to be educated on I hear they're catching too much with this throughout all their nets. I'll tell them what I do is I'll up here above Johnson now, we've got 150 feet. What I do, I throw half of the net out and I tie her open and see how strong the fish run is. That way they wouldn't overfish. Okay, where are you?
Yeah.
Tribal Fish Commission, for my opinion. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Koyanakwa. We had this program set up for an hour, and I'm going to ask my two guests here if they still want to do that or go on for another 30 more minutes.
I'm happy to stay another 30.
Yeah.
Aaron?
I'm down.
Yeah, why not? Since this is going to be our last show anyways.
Yeah.
Why not take it all the way? We've cut it short before. Let's take it a little bit longer today. On the remarks on the callers, do you have anything that you want to reply on or
Yes. Thank you, Sam. Well, first, I wanted to say thank you to Lamont. We really appreciate your kind words, and we appreciate everything, you know, that he does. And he's so important to the Fish Commission and the work that we do, and very thankful for him as well. Also wanted to say we are also very thankful for Boyd and sad to see him go. However, very happy to see him continue his work with, you know, salmon conservation. So he won't be too far away. He will be in Anchorage and we'll still be working together. And I think it will be helpful to have somebody in that capacity who is sympathetic to our needs, mm-hmm. who understands, you know, our life, our quality of life out here, why it's important to us. And I think Boyd is somebody who does care about, you know, the work that he does, and it shows. And so I wanted to also mention to Tim, I haven't personally had to do any type of fishing permit for funeral, you know, funerals. And I wanted to also give you my condolences. I'm sorry to hear about, you know, a member, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with them as well. Both, you know, the one that you just got back from and then the one tomorrow. That's always tough. And so, you know, I did make a note of that about the five limit. And if it does come up, you know, we will, you know, make a discussion of that and try and see, you know, you know, in the future, if it might be necessary. And to David and Noah, who mentioned the contaminants in the water, that's very interesting. We've been hearing that from people throughout, you know, the years in various ways. And we're actually, we've been in some communities, and the Fish Commission have been in contact with the Environmental Justice Center in University of Washington in relation to doing water testing, see what's in our water, look for water contaminants. And so perhaps that might be a good, you know, proposal that we could submit. You know, hearing these types of things from people in the community are really important because it brings awareness to what's going on. We understand that, you know, there are contaminants, and trying to understand like what they are and how they're affecting us and in our fish as well, our natural resources, super important because it's all interrelated. Our ecosystem, everything is it's a symbiotic relationship. excuse me. I wanted to also mention, you know, thank you everybody for calling in and raising these concerns. And Yvonne, I hear what you're saying about the fish weirs. We've heard that from other people, but I wanted to also mention to you, when we went to Guihluk this January with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and we spoke with the organized village of Guihluk, that was a concern that was raised. And we had our biologist, you know, who spoke about the types of materials that are in the water. And, you know, one of our fish technicians who's been there for quite some time was also at that meeting and, you know, remarked that he doesn't see, you know, fish getting stuck going up past the weir. They don't have troubles getting through the weir. It might take them a little bit of time. They might swim around, but then they eventually find the opening. And one of our biologists did mention that sometimes after the salmon spawn, they do float down the river. So sometimes those are the fish that you're seeing. So, you know, just wanted to put that out there because, you know, we try to be sensitive to that, you know, hearing people's concerns. And so, you know, what we're observing and what we're seeing, the weirs are, you know.
Yeah, they're there.
They're there, and you know, they're really important for our enumeration projects. And it looks like we have another caller. Let's see. We have Tundra Village caller. Thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. All I know is that fishing is like comes natural to us, and I was seeing like every year in the kids' culvert. You know what? You probably know what a culvert is, right? Those little drainways under the roads. Anyways, every year I will see little kids make intricate dams out of rocks, and they make pretty good traps for blackfish. And the best one I seen was three arcs made out of rocks. Arc out and die in front of the cove. And they made them real nice. Like, wow, that's great engineering for three-year-olds. And they patch up the leaks with mud and grass. And I was like, whoa, that's some great traps you're making. One morning I woke up to go post, and blackfish sunk on those three arcs. And then the best one I seen when those there were four girls fishing, even the girls are into little, like she was a 5 year old, she caught a blackfish, she was so happy she put it in her pocket, like, whoa. And she wouldn't go try to catch another, and there was a boy there who caught one. He was just real happy to catch one fish. From the start of the after that, big deal. No, jump back on what was so. It's just in our way. I hope it never doesn't take away from, you know, the state or the feds. It's just natural to us. So it's just, you know, I even took pictures of those dams. Like, wow, those are great traps you make kids, you know, encourage them. Try to catch more, catch as many as you can. So, yeah, bear that in mind. I don't know if they do.
Yeah, we see them out by the Assembly Church and other places where, like on Makhlhanik, on Yilranik.
Yeah, so it's just naturally seeing the kids. So I always remember that girl just putting it in her pocket, you know, just really laughing, smiling, like, I got a fish. So it's just fun to see. Just to catch a fish, even if it's just a little tiny 2-inch blackfish, you know, it's just our way of life. All right, guys, till next year, I guess. So have a nice year, evening.
Yeah.
All right.
To the next caller, David, again from Tuluksak. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I call it in Makutwani Kaisukokonski Beaver Dam, but Beaver Dam at the Ilumuna Anglia Ramukin Bunny Ayavastiganating Stakamalukin Tushiganating so Amphilakit Kaisukokon.
Aaron, do you have anything to add to Nikki's remarks and to the callers as well?
I just have a couple from the Tundra Villages. It's nice to see a lot of kids fishing. I take my boy out as much as I can, and that's a good thing about the management we have here in Bethel. It's from people that live on the Kuskokwim, all the way up and down. Me and Chris are originally from the coast, but I've spent a third of my life here now, so I feel like I'm from the river now. So.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing we have management, that it's people from the river leading the river and leading in management actions, and when we get a new manager, we have enough people to show how good things are, how things work, and we'll be able to hopefully make good decisions coming into the future. I love blackfish. I remember as a little kid going and get blackfish, so
yeah.
Blackfish fishing is awesome for me. So
yeah, we did that a lot where I'm from too, from Kasikiluk. I was born and raised in Kasikiluk, so I know what blackfish is. And we used to dip for them in the evening times with kalupauks. And sometimes when they're abundant, when the big ones start coming up, we used to bring home enough for a pot for my mom to cook. So, Nikki, sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. That's wonderful. And thank you, everybody, that's calling in. For our listening audience, the numbers to call are 907-543-5985, 543-2756, or you could email radio@kyuk.org. Just wanted to give some updates on our salmon monitoring projects. Mm-hmm. The Guihluk River weir became fish tight on July 15th. After that, we had some high water delays, but they are counting kings, chums, reds, and pinks. The season total on August 9th was 2,607 kings, 6,702 chum, 6,962 sockeye, and 1,162 coho. Mm-hmm. Very good. And then on the Tocotna River weir, it ended operations this past Monday on August 7th, and the 2023 operations, they will be ending this week. The season total as of 8/7 was 136 Chinook, 2,307 chum, 64 sockeye, 19 coho, 15 suckers, and 1 whitefish. Mm. eDNA continues to be collected at the Tocotna, Guihluk, and George Weir. Community-based harvest monitoring program, this season we hired 14 monitors, 8 in the lower Kuskokwim communities, and our monitors have been assessing. They've done 17 openers so far this season and have collected over 400 interviews. And we'll continue to monitor into the coho salmon season and try to get a baseline harvest data. And that's why when you see us at the boat harbor and we have our clipboards and papers and we want to talk to you, that's what we're doing.
So don't run away or what?
Well, everything is voluntary and anonymous. Uh-huh. And so if people don't want to talk to us, that's fine. We don't push mm-hmm. it. But, you know, we do appreciate everybody's input. Yeah. And, you know,
I think it's important that
it really is.
Our voice is heard.
Mm-hmm. And it really helps our in-season management look at what's going on, sort of get a pulse on the run, on the openers and what's going on there. I also had an update on the bycatch and interception.
Oh, yeah.
As of August 10th, we had 13,468 Chinook on the Bering Sea caught. And the 2023 chum bycatch in the Bering Sea is 38,510 as of August 10th. And this number is climbing, but in lower than other years because some of the closures, some of the areas have been triggered by closures that they've mm-hmm. met their cap. Area M interception has over 2.5 million reds and 3 million pinks caught. But mostly the chums that are being caught in the Alaska Peninsula or in Area M are from the Alaska Peninsula stock or Asian stocks and not from AYK. And so Area M chum interception as of August 8th has been 680,178 chums. So, you know, we continue to work with our partners and advocate for, you know, a decrease in, mm-hmm. you know, the time that they're able to fish and their gear so we could share the burden of conservation amongst all users, you know, from gravel to gravel, basically. So, you know, just... earlier this year at the Board of Fish meeting, that was in April, we didn't get what we wanted for. We asked for a 60% reduction in hours and we got about a 12% reduction. Something is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. But the work continues for us, you know, for our advocacy to try and decrease those numbers so we could continue to share the burden of conservation amongst all users, you know, so.
Yes. We have in the past have gotten the wrong end of the stick, you know, and all the burden has been put upon subsistence users. But once you start thinking about it, when all the commercial fishing is over, subsistence is going to still be here. When all the money is gone, fish are still going to be here. If we don't deplete them, if we don't use them up until they're gone, they're here. And my apologies to the people that have called in, waited, and after their calls, the calls have not been answered by the right panel or the right people. It's due to the calls that we are receiving, because we do have to try and get to all the callers and try to hear from them. And also to my panels too, like when the calls start coming in, right, one right after another, then it's a lot harder to try and get to my panel to get their share of what's going on. It goes all around. But looking at our time, we're almost out of time here already. And I want to get back to Saturday's opener again and go through what's expected from the mouth of the Kuskokwim to Johnson, from Johnson to that those areas, and what gear type they need to use.
Yeah, definitely. On August 12th, we're going to have a 12-hour drift end set gillnet opener from the mouth of the river to the Kalskag line. The restrictions are going to be the same, 6-inch or less, 45 mesh depth, 50 fathom full shackle below the Johnson, 25 fathom half shackle above the Johnson. One thing that's different, or it was like rod and reeling in the tributaries is wide open now for coho. Chum and Chinook have to be released still, but even in the Aniak box, retention of coho is allowed. So we're looking forward to having this opener on 12th, and hopefully after we have meetings, we'll know more, and hopefully we'll know what the status is, a little bit more of the coho, and hopefully we won't have to have meetings as much as we had this summer.
Yeah, and hopefully, if need be, we can come back next Thursday and have that as a closure. Nikki, do you have anything to add?
No, not at this time, but, I hope that people get enough fish to, fill their freezers and, to jar and to dry and to put away. And, don't forget about your elders, if you know an elder who, ask them if they got enough fish, and it is in our nature and our culture, tradition to share, and we got to take care of our elders. So just wanted to mention, don't forget.
I have a plan for this weekend. I'm planning to go out camping again one more time before the other type of salmon, the berry kind, before they fall. I want to pick a little bit more of that. I'm a big consumer of agudak, and it's a part of my diet. There was a point at one time when I couldn't eat it for a while due to cholesterol. They told me to cut it off completely, but I told them I ate that all my life. I can't stop eating it. So after camping, maybe if it's open 24/7, then I'll be able to go out. And then if not, I can go out to these non-spawning tributaries, and I do pretty well. I don't do that good, but I do pretty well in those. I have never came home with nothing yet, knocking on wood, but at least one to have to put on the table, at least sometimes. And when are these meetings, when do they take place, and where, and who is involved in these meetings? Aaron?
Therese pretty much sets up when the meetings happen. We sends out a poll to see when we could come all get together. It is a closed meeting because it is tribal consultation mm-hmm. between the tribes and Fish and Wildlife Service. So the people who attend are the fish management team from Fish and Wildlife side. That's pretty much me, the refuge manager, Spencer, Chris, Emmett, and Christian, and our new deputy manager, Lori. And then the Fish Commission has their staff, like Nikki, Kevin, Justin, Therese, Andrew, Avery, Joe, Jim, and Bill. And then the people that make the decisions, like the in-season managers. We have Betty Magnuson up in McGrath, Megan Leary from ANIAC, Michael M. Sr. from ACIAC, Henry Hunter from Bethel, and Paul Cleveland from Quinnahawk. And they have the two elder, or unfortunately, we lost one of our elder advisors this summer in Robert LeCander. And so there's a big void in, with that. And we also have James Nickerai from Kwethluk as an elder advisor. So there's our people from all the way up from the headwaters to the mouth. And we also have Lamont Albertson, who called in. He's the working group manager for, or representative, and so he attends all these meetings also. And so we have a lot of representation from all up and down the river, and so we have good dialogue on management actions and decisions. And a lot of the meetings are over Zoom now.
Yeah.
So,
and how soon do we hear from the meeting? How soon is it released?
Usually
to the public.
Usually after a meeting, you'll get a notification within 24 hours. Mm. We try to make it as soon as possible so people have as much time to prepare. Yeah. And so, we do a little. Mm-hmm. It's about roughly 24 hours. We could do it a little bit earlier, but sometimes we'll find errors in our drafts and stuff. So,
Nikki, do you have anything to add?
No, I actually just wanted to mention that Lamont Albertson is also CARE-ITFC. He works as staff, So, it's been a great season. I really appreciate, Sam taking the time every week to sit here with us and our listening audience. And, thank you to all the callers that call in with all of your great questions, comments, and concerns. We'll miss you guys until next season. And, I hope that everybody stays safe, fills their freezers and takes care of one another.
Yeah, and we do have people that sit on the board that go through all the callers, and they sit there until this show is over. So my hat's off to them, too. It's sad to know that... LeCander has gone home, and it's going to be difficult to put somebody there to fill in the shoes that he wore. I know that each person is different. They have, different aspects, But when it comes to subsistence, everybody puts on the same shirt, we all feel what's happening around us. And we got about 5 minutes left to our show here, and I'd like to hear from the both of you, what do you think of this mine opening upriver that's on works here, and what do you think it is going to do to conservation of our fish? One of you go at it, and then the other.
Well, the Fish Commission hasn't taken any action or official statement. We tried to refer people to the Donlin Gold EIS impact, environmental impact statement, and take facts from there. These that document is You know, it's a very thorough document. It's very large in volume. There's a lot of really interesting information on there, and you know, just encouraging people to read through it, you know, take the time to look through it and read it and familiarize yourself with it. And, you know, any questions, comments, or concerns, you know, reach out to your state representatives, reach out to your federal representatives, speak your mind. But the Fish Commission doesn't have we don't have a say in like an official statement, yeah. But
this is your time to speak out what's in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try to be, you know, because we represent the whole river, equitable, you know, tried to, you know, not speak without consensus of the entire body. Yeah. And so that's why just, you know, referring people back to the EIS. But if people want to write questions, comments, concerns to us in regards to that, you know, you're more than welcome to. Please email us info@kritfc.org. And we'd be happy to share it, pass that information along. Aaron, do you have anything you want to add?
I didn't mean to put you on a spot there.
But oh, no.
I had to bring it up. And it's at the end of the show, so callers will... Sometimes we get stuck in that subject. Aaron?
I have nothing to add to that. a lot of that is above our level. It's at Boyd's level now, where he's at. And so he's going to be the one that is going to be working closely with a lot of that, and so that's a good thing that we have someone we know that's going to be working on that situation.
Yeah, in environmental basis, stuff like that. Kuya Nakpa, and all the people that have called this afternoon, we've meant to do it for only an hour. We thought there wouldn't be this many callers, but we thought maybe we might not be back until next year, so might as well do it. But if need be, we can come back next Thursday and you do that as a closer. We'll see. Thank you, Aaron, Nikki, the callers from the YK Delta here. Kuskuk pakamut, kuya wikluchikaya gautlakni tamakhpchi. Nasun ritnachtuji ikicht katahtuk. Makin kami 9 a.m. unakum ayakluni 9 p.m. maktikili ko 12-hour opener. Biunach tachi hamchtun pikchahto knehte ko ta chali shu ayaga kufchi mugil kluji life preservers nasu yagut ksaunaki kitsuchit. Mikkelingo putlu makunik nutkinik biukngareluting pilret litnaoruluki. Teach them how to be safe with firearms and stuff. Be safe. Biukchi.